Schaefer and I, I practice in Houston, Harris County, Texas. This is a venue case before the court. It was an action. It was brought by Grant Plaza, Huntsville Associates, a lessor against the lessee, 7L's Toy Store, in Walker County, Texas. 7L's was a, there were, 7L's signed the lease, and there was a guarantee that was signed by Charles Friday and Gary Woodall. Plea of privileges were filed, contested. The court ordered, the trial court overruled the plea of privilege, and then it went to the Court of Civil Appeals. The Court of Civil Appeals affirmed the holdings of the trial court. Brought up on the single river, that's brought up before this court, is the question on whether or not the Court of Civil Appeals erred in the finding of Woodall and Friday individuals as necessary parties to the action as a, under the purview or under the, what's seen in Article, Section 29B of Article 1995. 7L is a corporation. The Court of Civil Appeals found jurisdiction under Section 23, and it went on to say that even though the other courts have held to the contrary, that that guarantors are not necessary parties, that they felt that under the Ladner versus Reliance, the rule there, and Ramey and Mathis versus Pitts, that Friday and Woodall were necessary parties within the venue statute, or required the venue statute, and thus they should, because of 7L's presence in Walker County, and likewise Friday and Woodall should be there. The cases that Ladner and Reliance seem to be the first ones that came down and set the rule, and it's a, the rules of, and as I stated in my brief, the question is whether or not there's a joint judgment or whether you're, whether there's a joint responsibility or joint liability.
Counsel, may I straighten something out before you straight? Is this the guarantee of the performance of the lease or the guarantee of a note or both?
Guarantee of the performance of the lease, guarantee of the payment. The, what was sought was money judgment. And the guarantee did speak in terms of guaranteeing payment and the covenants and performance of the lease.
This is not a note case.
Very close to a note case. It is not, it is not essentially a note case. Likewise, it is a, the cases that are there are that have gone before generally are along with a surety, a principal surety, or a joint obligors, or the promissory, or promissory note guarantor relationship. Granted, they've almost all been treated the same in the analysis by the courts. The question that the test that followed, or kind of a shorthand test that I referred to in my brief, is whether or not if the plaintiff is entitled to a joint judgment, then it would follow that the defendants should were necessary parties. This, and this has of course been disagreed with, hard to follow conceptually, as stated in McDonald's. But the problem, as I see it, is where you work with something as being a joint judgment. There's a lot of cases where you have a joint, can have a joint judgment, and yet not have, you don't have your joint liability or your joint responsibility. And it's in this case that it's such as that, that you have a, you have your difference where you have, you're not, you have a party that's not necessary and one that is necessary. In Luke Cole Storage versus South Texas Packers, you had, where they had the, all the goods that were shipped up to some place, and some of them spoiled along the way, and there was a difficulty in determining who was responsible, whose box, if the shipments originated in different places. And there was no proof as to what, whose box is spoiled. And of course, it's, the court there, the Supreme Court there, said it may be difficult to prove, and it may be better if you have everybody there, but you don't, essentially have the joint liability.
Is there a field by Seven Elves?
There's.
Is Seven Elves, did it not also file a plea of privilege?
Yes, it did.
Has there been an appeal from that?
No, Your Honor. So the writ was only sought as to the one single issue. I don't feel like, after the receiving the opinion from the Court of Civil Appeal, I didn't see that there was any chance of jurisdiction by the Supreme Court on the finding that Seven Elves had done business in.
Okay. I just asked for information.
Okay. The in Luke versus Cold Storage, there was a finding by the court that even though it was difficult, it affected to an extent certain the nature of the proof or the how it would have to be proven. Still, this did not entitle the plaintiff to have the defendant, who was not a necessary party, within the jurisdiction of the court, did not apply to venue. The Rainey and Mathis versus Pitts case was cited by the Court of Appeal, I think. Of course, it's important it has that language that is bothersome or that brings up a problem. But I think one thing that's not noted in the Rainey and Mathis versus Pitts is this is, of course, a bond principal and surety case. And in that case, you had the party who was for jurisdiction venue attached because of one of the subsections, and then you had actually it was going the other way, but the language, back up, the thing that was important was both parties, both the bondsman or the surety and the principal signed this bond. They were both on paper and set out in the opinion. They were jointly and severally liable. Under this condition, I think that you have your plaintiff entitled to then the joint and several liability, and the one defendant will bring along the other. In other words, once you have a venue as to one, then you will have venue as to the other. Not the case with Seven Elves and Woodall and Friday. The guarantee does not give Grant Plaza joint liability as to Woodall and Friday and 7L. It is a strict guarantee as to the payment and performance. As far as being necessary, there's the cause of action of Grant Plaza against 7L is not affected by Friday and Woodall, whether they are there or not there. Now, the action on the guarantee, of course, does require either a judgment against 7Ls, or there are their presence in the court. However, it does not, as in Ramey and Mathis versus Pitt, it goes one way. There it says you can't have the surety there and not have the principal. But on the converse is not necessarily true, and of course it's not. You can have the principal there without having the surety as to your action against the principal. And then, of course, your action as to the surety, or in this case, the guarantor follows at a would be in separate suit in the county. Now, if they wanted joint and several liability, if this was bargained for, it could have been written into the guarantee. Of course, their venue could have been established also in the guarantee as to where the suit was to be tried. The case that was in direct conflict with this case, as handed down by the Court of Appeals, was the Dynapac versus May Aluminum. And in that case, very similar, and of course, Court of Appeals, Corpus Christi held that no question, although they likewise found venue under Section 23 where a corporation did business, the principal, as of the corporation, had signed as a guarantor. But as such, they held that, and quite properly, that the venue did not attach under 29 to the individual guarantor to likewise bring him into, I believe it's Spartan County, and then transferred to Dallas County. With the two items that, of course, on top are cumulative with my brief, are the one I just mentioned, and then of course the one that I mentioned earlier, that also there seems to me to be a substantial difference between the whether or not where you have a bond involved, or you have a surety principal, and then you have both parties signing. You have both the principal and the surety signing that one instrument, which establishes that cause of action, as opposed to this, where you have one a lease, and then you have somebody else on a separately guaranteeing the lease. Now, even though they're separate pieces of paper, that's not the big significance. The large significance is, did they actually say in this contract or in this statement, we agree to be jointly and severally liable? And in this case, they did not. And that's what they're entitled to be tried in the county of their choice and not be drug along with 7 hours.
Thank you, counsel. The court will take a brief recess.
I do represent the respondent, Grant, in this matter. We sued a lessee, which was the 7 Ounce Toy Store. The two guarantors, Woodall and Friday, based upon a written lease agreement. An exhibit to that lease agreement being the guarantee of Woodall and Friday guaranteeing performance of the obligations of the lease and payment of the rental to my client. There, in the hearing, there was proof proving cause of action against all three defendants, the proof required, and that was the holding of the court below, of the liability of the corporate principal obligor and the two individuals who are secondarily liable. The court's civil appeal to affirm the trial court, ruling that the corporation was a necessary party under 23, being one of the prerequisites to establishing 29A exception. The second part of that, one party was proper in Walker County. The second part of that being that they were necessary parties. And while the court did make a note, I think what was said in the lower court is, we recognize that the area of law dealing with necessary parties has been in a state of flux. Some courts have held to the contrary, but we believe that guarantors in a suit against the principal obligor in which the plaintiff may be entitled to a joint judgment are necessary in order to give the plaintiff the full recovery to which he is entitled. They did cite the only case which I have been able to locate, a 1934 case out of Beaumont, Willis v. Victoria Bank and Trust, which is the only case I have been able to locate in which venue was established against the principal obligor. It was the sheriff of Wharton County in that case. Venue was established in Victoria County, and that the surety was a necessary party to the suit in Victoria County, despite the fact that the surety established that their residence was Harris County. That is the only case on point. The specific issue in this court, can a surety be held in the county when you hold the principal obligor? Counsel is correct that there are cases, and this court has decided cases, considering the point when a surety is held by one of the exceptions to the venue statute, Matthew and Raymond v. Pitts being the case, where the surety in that case was held, I believe, in Amarillo, Potter County, and the principal obligor, who was a resident of a neighboring county, was held in Potter County by this court in answer to a certified question. And now the reverse of that case, I think, is before this court. There have been several cases before this court, the Ladner v. Reliance case previously referred to, and the cold loop storage, loop cold storage, which way that one went, case decided by this court in 1973, which turned on issues of proof. Was there proper proof to the court on whether or not liability was established against the defendant that was sought to be held in the county? And in both of those cases, the court found that no, there was not sufficient proof of the joint liability. But those two cases have set the rules that which have been applied by the courts in other cases. And I believe those are the rules which this court will apply. I think that is the exception of our case with the others, is that we have, I believe, the record reflects, that I have proved the joint and several liability of these three defendants. And I ask that the suit be maintained in Walker County as to all three defendants. The issue seems to be, is the guarantor a necessary party under 29A in a suit against the principal obligor? I say that answer is yes. I feel a statement struck me that we discussed in oral arguments before the 14th court, that this suit against the principal obligor will fix the liability of the guarantors. There's joint liability. I think the argument in the petitioner's brief about a joint cause of action being necessary, I don't think that is true. I was struck that perhaps the argument was the old, I studied indispensable parties, but they've not been part of my practice in the last 8 years. But the indispensable party line of cases, that you must be an indispensable party to come within 29A, and I do not think that is correct. I think the court has expanded that. We haven't gotten to the other extreme, that just any proper party is a necessary party. Somewhere in between the old indispensable party and the old proper party, there's a line in there, and I think this court began to draw that line. And I think that line is definitely that the guarantor in a suit such as this is a necessary party. I've read the Dynapac case. It concerned me as a trial practitioner that you would have a suit that you did try twice. That's, of course, an issue of multiplicity of suits, which doesn't have any effect on the venue. This court, while it might in economics and judicial economy might say we shouldn't try cases twice, but I recognize the cold loop storage case talks about it quite clearly. But that's not a determining factor in necessary parties, and the respondent does recognize that factor. I do not think that that is the factor in this case that requires the finding that the guarantors are necessary parties. Because what disturbed me in a Dynapac suit is what happened to the plaintiff when he got to Dallas County to sue a surety, when the law of this state is quite clear that you can't proceed against a surety without the principal in the suit. That law is clear unless you have the language of the Fort Worth Court of Civil Appeals, as discussed, I think, in the Yandell case, which was decided right after Beaumont decided Cook, and I think those two cases have crystallized what language is necessary in a contract of guarantee to be able to pursue a surety separately. I do not feel that we should in Texas create two rules, that if a surety is properly in one county, that the principal can then be tried with that surety in that county. That is the law. I do not think we should create the rule, which petitioner asked you in this case, that if the principal obligor is properly in the county, that the surety is not a necessary party to that suit. That is why I did discuss in my brief the issue of severance, because it is important to me. I think that points out, when you think about severing two guarantors out of the suit and sending them off, and a guarantee so annexed into the, as plaintiff's exhibit A shows, a guarantee so, exhibit one, excuse me, the trial, so shows annexed into the lease document, and that does show that they are the necessary, that the handling that the court has made of sureties in other cases where venue is mandatory as to a surety in a certain county by state, there's an insurance provision which makes venue mandatory on bonds filed in certain counties. Causes of actions will be split to keep the principal obligor with that surety when they transfer that case. And those cases, the Morris v. Fisher case and Scott v. USF&G cases, the courts have kept the sureties and the principal obligors together, recognizing that the principal obligor is a necessary party with the surety. And I do not think Section 29A means the characterization of necessary parties that I cannot maintain venue in Walker County against the corporation, which I approve of Section 33, because it must be transferred with the insurance who are going to Harris County if this court sustains the rule as advanced by the petition. The line of cases, I think the article I've read discussed the two previous line of cases, one very narrow and one broadening. With the line of cases, I now understand the court holding follows the Pioneer case and the Commonwealth v. Hyde case, the Union Bus case, the Ramey, the Ladner, the Coal Loop Storage. I believe all those cases lead us to the point that this is a case for this court to hold in this fact situation that guarantors are necessary.
Thank you,
Andrew.
Your rebuttal argument from petition?
There's none. The bulk, briefly, the only thing that I would add to my argument is argument that we are not, that Woodall and Friday are not sure they are guarantors. Same as in the Dynapipe case. There's no problem with in a case of a guarantor being sued second after judgment has been obtained by against the principal.
What if they try your case first?
The
been transferred to Harris County and the principal is still in Walker County. What if they would try the guarantor first? What would be you say you're entitled to know what happened to the principal?
I believe the case in Harris County could be abated until judgment had been rendered or determined, or liability had been determined in Walker County.
Why?
The defenses of the guarantors are substantially different from that of the of the principal or 7L. Friday and Woodall have defenses of fraud.
Well, complete relief can't be obtained in the second suit. And you need to both suit together, don't you, to get complete relief? You need to try the principal and the sureties to get complete relief, don't you?
In the case, you have to be careful about which way you're going. In the case of, if you want to sue the surety, then the principal is, of course, you want to sue the guarantors, being the guarantors. Then I feel in this case that the principal is a necessary party.
Okay, you're going to move them to Harris County too?
If
he's properly in Walker County. Are you going to move the principal now to Harris County on the strength of your plea approval?
That would be up to the plaintiff if they chose to go against the surety. They may not choose to go against the guarantor. They may not choose to go against the guarantor. Their action that gives them venue in Walker County is against the principal, and it is not. That does not determine. It's another. It's something else again that they're trying to bring in the bringing Woodall and Friday as guarantors. Now on the reverse. Correct. If venue lied in Walker County as to Friday and Woodall, I don't think there'd be any question that then that 7Ls would then be a necessary party and they would be there. But I don't think that it works the other way. It's hard to tell what the plaintiff would have wanted to do. They may choose to only proceed at that time. They can take a non-suit in the case is transferred to Harris County. They can take a non-suit at that time without prejudice until the case is determined against 7L. And of course, and as the court is, as far as the administration of justice, which I would presume to be an argument, that of course is there. It does not help the administration of justice to do this way. But that, under the law, and as said in the cold storage case, it's set out that this is supposed to be followed, and it's a right, and you balance that as against the right of Walton Friday to be sued in their home county when they are not actually, when they are not necessary parties.
Let me ask you something. What would prevent you, if your case gets transferred to Harris County, what would prevent you from then filing a plea and abatement and saying this case can't be tried now or ever because the principal is a necessary party and they're up there in Washington?
I'd be prevented, I'm sure, from saying ever. I could file a plea and abatement and say until the suit is determined in Walker County, all right, I should not be brought to trial down here. And if the case is determined unfavorably to them and to Grant Plaza in Walker County, then of course they have no case against me here. On the other hand, even though they do obtain a judgment in Grant Plaza, then of course I have my defenses on the basis of my guarantee in Harris County, which is where I should be allowed to bring my defense. I don't think that I could ever cut. I feel certain I couldn't cut them off, but they could wait until you finish one and then go to the other. Again, the difference, and I slip myself when I say it, and when we talk about the surety, there is a difference between the surety and the guarantor. In the cases of the sureties that are before this court, there was a bond where you had both parties of interest that were obligated to them separately. I think that as in the cold storage case, the case should be, the personal appeal should be reversed and the cost should be transferred here. Thanks very much.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted on written briefs and oral argument for both parties. That concludes the oral submissions for the day, and the marshal will adjourn the court.